the evil one, axis of evil. President Bush has been using the word evil to explain his foreign policy. To many observers, it sounds like a return to using old-fashioned moral language. But linguist Jeff Nunberg points out that evil doesn't mean what it used to.
This may be simply a sign of what a protected life I've led, but I don't think I've ever known anybody who was out and out evil. Well, actually, I knew an evil cat once. But that makes my point. Evil isn't something we ascribe to things in the familiar circle of our own experience. Evil has to be unfathomable, or it isn't evil. That's why a cat can be evil, and a dog can only be mean, because cats can be incomprehensible, whereas dogs wear their motivations on their collars. And that's why we tend to reserve the word evil for people who seem to have no rational motive for what they do apart from a malignant pleasure in causing pain. Somebody like Ted Kaczynski, who holes up in a Montana cabin to build bombs and torture the local dogs. But when we can understand somebody's motivation, we tend to use other words. Those Enron executives who ripped off the company and its employees out of simple greed have been called immoral, corrupt, dishonest, or just plain sleazy, but nobody's thought to describe them as evil. When you think about it, in fact, it's odd that we should say that the love of money is the root of all evil, since we tend to assume that truly evil people aren't motivated by greed alone. But then, when that verse was inserted in the King James Bible, evil had a much broader meaning. It could refer to just about anything that was wrong, harmful, wretched, disagreeable, or merely unfortunate or defective. We may think of evil as a biblical word, but its meaning is a lot narrower for us than it was in the Bible itself, and narrower than most traditional theologians would have recognized. In fact, evil has become such a recondite notion for us that there are only a handful of modern contexts where we use the word at all. There's Nazi Germany, the model for evil in our time. And there are the fictional worlds of comic books, James Bond stories, and gothic movies like The Exorcist and The Omen. A lot of the time, in fact, the word has a decidedly campy tone. When I hear somebody use it, I can't help thinking of Richard Burton in The Exorcist saying, "We're in the presence of evil." Those echoes can be hard to escape even when somebody's trying to use the word in deadly earnest. President Bush has done everything he could to tie the word to bin Laden, to the point where he uses the evil one almost as a kind of pronoun. But if the label sticks, it's because bin Laden is a personification of evil right out of central casting, this creepy, exotic character who looks like he could have stepped out of a James Bond or Flash Gordon movie. You can hear the same campy resonances in the phrase axis of evil that Bush used in his State of the Union speech to refer to Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. Ari Fleischer said afterwards that Bush didn't intend any literal comparison to the Axis powers in World War II. I'll take Fleischer at his word on that, not just because the comparison is far-fetched, but because I suspect that for most listeners, that axis of evil phrase didn't evoke Churchillian echoes so much as a league of comic book supervillains. I can see the usefulness of the word evil. It's a tonic for the excesses of moral relativism, it cleaves neatly between us and them, and it simplifies the business of explaining why we fight. But as various commentators have observed, an absolute term like evil can be hard to square with the gradations and relativities that foreign policy is built around. That might not be much of an issue in the case of bin Laden himself, but once you try to extend the principle, you get into a situation where Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright are having public disagreements over whether North Korea should be classified as evil as opposed to merely awfully bad. Then, too, the Bush approach runs the risk of administering the coup de grace to the notion of evil itself, at least as a serious concept in American public life. Bush is obviously trying to turn the word into a catchphrase for his presidency. He used it 5 times in the State of the Union message and 10 times in a speech the following day in Florida. And in a speech in Winston-Salem, he expanded the war on evil to include parts of his domestic program, like the AmeriCorps volunteer initiatives. "If you want to fight evil," he said, "we figured out a way to do so militarily. But at home, you fight evil by doing something to help somebody." Nobody's about to question the value of home building and literacy tutoring, but that isn't what people generally have in mind when they talk about fighting evil, and a certain cynicism is likely to creep in. Buzzwords and catchphrases have a short half-life in American politics, and sooner or later, the war on evil will go the way of other political slogans, from a kinder, gentler nation to compassionate conservatism. This could be the end of evil as we know it, at least in American public life.
Jeff Nunberg is the author of The Way We Talk Now.